Alright, I'm gonna start recording now because I'm about to evolve an Eevee. And I want to see a reaction when it inevitably becomes a Vaporeon.
I never get a Vaporeon. What the hell's happening? I gotta charge this Kindle. Got on Prime Day.
Alright, here we go.
Hope the Flareon. Hope you get to suffer my Flareon curse.
Oh, we might have another Flareon. Flareon's good.
Do you have all three already?
Yeah. Could use a better Jolteon.
Yeah, like, obviously. Die.
It's a Flareon.
The Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 15th, 2016. This is Mike Minotti, and I am joined by my brother, Ajguy.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
How's the Pokemans treating you?
It's going.
Yeah.
It's going.
It's going. Get it?
I don't understand how people have, like, 1,600 CP Pokemon.
Well, I think it's just, you know, the higher level, the higher CP Pokemon you get, right?
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm level 15, which feels decent.
I'm level 15. I'm not... I mean, there's people, AJ, who don't have jobs.
True,
the
true.
Children who...
True.
It's summertime. They're just... You know, what else are they doing?
Damn kids and their Pokemon. Right.
So, yeah. So, Pokemon Go, man. I'll tell you, that escalated quickly. I was like... It's funny, because I had an early preview copy of this game, right? And at the time, I was like, oh, this is neat, but, like, I didn't quite get it because...
Well, there weren't people to play with, really.
Well, it's interesting because you don't even really, quote-unquote, play with people that much in a traditional way. But, like, the most fun I've had with this game is, like, I go with groups of friends. We just go walk around. We find, like, Pokestops that are near each other. We triangulate lore so that they're all off at the same time.
Right.
Just hang around. Well, and, like, maybe we see a gym. Like, oh, let's go to that gym.
Yeah, or, you know, we do the thing we all do. Oh, I caught a Scyther. Let me text this to all my friends. And we're all like, oh, Scyther.
Even though it's not, like, traditional. Like, you can't trade or battle, but it's still, like, a bizarrely social game.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's a strange, like, because it's become this thing, it's like... So, you know, I live in the center of my town, Poland, and there's a main street on Poland, right? It's got, like, little mom-and-pop, like, things. It has a library. It has, like, this little tiny park with statue on it. Nobody has ever walked up and down, like, Main Street.
Yeah.
Except, like there's, like, a middle school right nearby, like, school goes on. They're just people walking up and down Main Street all day long, like, trying to catch Pokemon. It's just weird to see, like, this activity. It's almost kind of, like...
Yeah, last weekend, nice. You and I were doing that in the middle of Poland, and like you said, there's that little park with a statue. I mean, like, it's at the intersection of two very busy roads. It used to be a gas station. They built this park. And it was the first time ever you and I just sat there. There's a water fountain there. I didn't know. It's very lovely.
Right,
and we
yeah.
were, like, just catching Pokemon and hanging out. It's like,
oh, this is nice.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, yeah, it's crazy. And, like, yeah, going to, like, an actual park, it's just madness.
Yeah.
It's just, like, all these people riding around, like, blaring the Pokemon theme song. It's like, it almost seems, like, even bigger than when the Pokemon hit the first time. Because when that happened, people were mostly just, you know, in their houses playing Pokemon. Now...
Yeah.
You don't only have, like, the kids playing it now, but you have the people who were kids playing it.
Yeah, and it's a very, very wide group.
Right. It's, yeah, it's very, very... Because, I mean, about the oldest is probably our age, because we were the ones who were, like, kids when the first one came out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still like, yeah, Pokemon, cool. And, but, yeah, it's just... This thing has really taken off. And it's... I know some people are like, oh, the game itself isn't, you know, very complex, but it's... It's kind of perfect for what it needs to be. I don't think it needs to be too much more complex.
Right.
Because it gives you opportunity. It rewards you for traveling, for exploring, and even for, like, finding a spot and, like, just staying at it. So there's kind of multiple ways you can play. Right? And, you know, you can walk around and just hatch eggs a lot if that's what you want to do. You can find a spot, like, where you know you can walk, like, a certain set path and constantly get Pokestops. And constantly recharge your items, or you can put lures down in one Pokestop and just stay there for a while. You know? You can focus on collecting, you can focus on gathering gems and all that stuff.
My biggest complaint of the game, I guess, I have is the gems so far. And it's both design and technical. First of all...
It's kind of a complicated system, isn't it?
Well, right now, it's just a mess with like, sometimes you click battle and it just doesn't load.
Well, there's a whole thing about... server issues like that.
Yeah, but, like, that seems to be the worst aspect of the game affected by all this stuff. Like that's where I always run the most technical problems.
It's like every time I catch a Pokemon, like, half the time it does that glitch where the Pokeball just doesn't move and you have to restart the game.
Usually you end up with the Pokemon, at least when that happens. But the other thing with gyms that I don't quite understand, like, so, to gain any reward of owning a gym, you have to have a Pokemon there for around 20 hours. what gym is going to last that long?
I think that's like an issue. Yeah, that's like a thing of like not expecting maybe the intense popularity because there's just so many people like, trying to
like
fight gyms.
Going to Boardman Park where there are like four gyms, but there's constantly people. Like there's no there's no point even trying.
Right. No, no. I mean, for sure.
You're just going to waste your potions, which I have a million of, though, by the way.
Right. No, you're not going
to
really waste
potions. You need to almost find like obscure Pokemon gyms to take over.
Right. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I think there's definitely some tuning, and I think a part of that is like not expecting it to be this popular. I think it's not the most urgent thing. I think right now they just have to work on stability.
Mm-hmm. Well, they launched in more countries, so they must be starting to feel more confident about it.
That's good. I think also there's just a feeling of we got to launch in more countries because we got to strike while the iron's hot. Maybe things aren't perfect, but hey, let's kind of get it out there. So, do you think is this like a new dawning of a new thing for video games, or is Pokemon Go kind of going to be its own thing? Can you really just do this with something else, or does that kind of have to be Pokemon?
Well, I don't think you can just do it with something else now because, like, Pokemon did do it. There might have been other properties to pull off something like this. I can't say what they are now.
Yeah, like, I don't even know what it would
but,
be.
I mean, the thing is, it has been done. I mean, Ingress was the foundation this is built
on.
Did you see, I think it was, like, Sony Europe tweeted about that in some AR game they made for the Vita that kind of did the same thing. Like, oh, we did this 5 years ago, and it's hard to tell if they were joking or not. You hope they were, because otherwise you're like, no, your monster design was terrible. So, I mean, I don't know. I try to think, like, what other franchise or anything could have
got such a universal response. It has to be a combination of being recognizable, but also like collecting things, like being a core component. And there's not much up you can think about except for like Pokemon ripoffs, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, Yo-Kai Watch Go or Digimon Go, and it's like,
Digimon Go.
Right.
I also, to go back, we were saying about the people playing this. Like, I go to Boardman Park and I look at everyone playing, and it's like, I literally have not seen a demographic represented by this game. You have, like, the kind of people who look like nerds of their various age groups, which is, expect. But, like, there's, like, the kids who look like the high school quarterback is playing.
Yeah, there's, like, the trendy high school kids.
And I'm like, man, these kids weren't playing Pokemon when I was in high school.
That whole thing has changed dramatically.
I know. It's so weird to me.
Even when we were in, middle school especially, it was still kind of, everyone played games a bit, but people who play games a lot were kind of the nerds like us. Everyone plays a lot of games now, it seems like.
Like I said, I was at the park the other day during my lunch break. I mean, there were, like, these three kids who, like, you know, had the stereotypical appearance of the cool kids. But they're, like, talking about fighting Poliwags. And I'm like, this is weird.
Right.
It's cool, but it's weird.
So do you think this is going to have staying power?
That's what's hard to say. Right. I mean, it's the middle of summer. There's no school right now.
They really
sit
in a good time, didn't they?
I feel like even coming out a month sooner would have been even better.
What's going to happen, like, winter? Are people going to really be playing Pokemon Go?
Yeah, like, are you going to go out in the snow?
I don't really think it's going to be able to last longer than a year.
Well, as long as they can keep pumping new features and then, you know, when there's a the next wave of Pokemon
they'll definitely have that. But it's hard to, phenomenons like this crazy, I don't think it can be a super long-term thing. I mean, eventually, people are going to get a little tired of it, right?
Well, I'm finally running into the situation now where I'm getting, like, low on Pokeballs. Like, to the point where I have to, like, think about, do I want to capture that
Rattata? Yeah, we gotta go walking up and down Main Street and farm some Pokeballs.
I know,
seriously.
The problem is, when you're doing that, you're finding Pokemon. Didn't help today. I was driving through the park and stopped for a little bit because I had some time. And there's an Onix. I'm like, sweet, an Onix. 5 Great Balls, 2 Pokeballs, 5 Raspberries, and it ran away.
Oh, gosh.
Like, what can I do?
Right.
It's like, well, that's fantastic. Now I'm out of Great Balls.
It is crazy just how much I think this is. Like, and the news is always like everyone knows what it is. Our mom knows what Pokemon Go is right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about all the weird places it's showing up in the world. That some of it you just want to be like, just stop. Like,
what?
Like, you see Donald Trump's attack ad to Hillary Clinton with Pokemon Go, and it's like, no.
Gotta hate politics.
That's gross.
Both of them have to immediately jump on anything that's popular. I mean, Hillary Clinton has a campaign rally not far from here in northern Ohio. It's going to be at a Pokestop.
Yeah.
And they're, like, touting that feature, and it's like, Jesus. I hate politics so much.
Yeah.
We're kind of like wanting me to go to that. I'm like, oh, it's Chris's birthday, and also I hate politics, and I'm not going to go to a political rally anymore.
Yeah, yeah, no. But yeah, I mean, there are some brands making some clever use, but I like the things that, like, the National Park Services have been doing.
Yeah, you know, people...
Because I feel like the first day, all these people who, like, work at Boardman Park and, like, grounds crews and things like that had to be, like... Why are there so many people here, and why are they all walking around staring at their phones? I don't know what's going on.
People seem to have a pretty good, humor. But yeah, people seem to be kind of taking it pretty well. I think people are just kind of happy to see everyone outside right now. You do wonder if eventually that's going to wear off a bit. Like, when we were in Main Street, you know, there's not a lot of front yard space. We were in front of this, like, historical house that people actually live in. We're just kind of sitting there because that's where we had to be in order to, like, be near three Pokestops. And it's like, the guy who worked there came out. He's, like, watering his plants. Like, oh, God, I don't want to get you. Like, oh, we're sorry. Do you want some food? He's like, oh, no, you guys are okay. Do you want any water? It's like, like, super nice. Yeah. It's like the strange thing. It's like, everyone's been very nice about this whole Pokemon Go thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I am very sick of the, like...
I'm tired of hearing about Pokemon Go.
Everyone's out playing Pokemon Go. That stupid meme picture where it's like, everyone's talking about playing Pokemon Go, but I'm an adult with shit to do.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thank God the counter meme didn't come out where it's like, it's that post and it's crossed. That's like, I'm an adult. I better get on Facebook and tell everyone how I feel about this.
Right.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, dude, guys, you guys are cool. Yeah, I know. It's pretty funny. I was like that one. Like, people tout that they're an adult. Like, yeah, we know you're an adult.
I'm too good for this. Like, yeah, so you posted a meme photo you made on Facebook. Great job.
I saw you at the bar last night getting wasted.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, like, these people are so productive.
I think people are funny. But yeah, so this is interesting. Alex, I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's definitely fun right now.
It's a neat thing. I want it to be a thing.
So, kind of going to Special Zone, but other things.
Let's do Star Wars first.
Okay, we'll talk about Star Wars. Yeah. Although, the panel, it's like, people are really cracking down, like, we are going to show things at the panel that not everybody can see. Because there was, like, they did three cutaways to show things. And the first time was, like, this behind-the-scenes footage. And then, like, they were like, oh, now we're going to show something else. And the people on the stream just saw the behind-the-scenes footage again. And then Kathleen Kennedy was like, well, no, here's like a sneak peek of something else. I'm pretty sure it was something with Episode 8, the way she was...
No.
The way she was presenting it, I think it was Episode 8. Well, we could probably find out later. I know you think it was a trailer, but I think...
Well, because they, like I said, I'm pretty sure tonight at 8, there's like a Force Awakens special, and they're showing the Rogue One trailer after.
But then they, so...
And they just finished filming Episode 8, like... Last week. I don't think they're...
I think we could show... Oh, come on. They had a... What did they show? I guess that was at least a year. But
that like kind of behind-the-scenes-y thing from Force Awakens. That was Comic-Con last year.
That's right. But anyways, But the point is, like, they wouldn't show the people watching the stream. Like, oh, just show me. Come on.
You'll see it. But what did you think of that behind-the-scenes?
I thought it was really cool.
I think the movie's going to be great.
I think, again, it's kind of like the episode stuff. I like how all the practical stuff, especially, like, the practical alien costumes, again.
Like,
I really
there's that one guy who's, like, on a gun turret on the side of a ship. I'm like, he looks so good.
Right, yeah, that's great. I like Alan Tudyk's little kind of droid character looks awesome. He definitely seems to have some shades of HG.
Mm-hmm.
Or HK-48 in him. But, I'm definitely very excited for the movie.
HK-47.
I couldn't do it. I don't know why.
You're saying you're trying to mix HK-47 IG-88.
That's what happened.
With HG-87. That's what happened.
You figured it out. You cracked the code.
I speak my exhaust.
The villain looks really cool.
Yeah, I loved how he came out in full costume with the troopers.
But and then it's like, yeah, we cannot confirm Darth Vader's in. I'm like, well, should have showed me that.
Knew that.
Yeah, though. I know. But come on. I wanted to see a little Darth Vader in that panel.
I think we'll see Darth Vader tonight.
I want to see him now. It's kind of a strange thing though with him because. Obviously he's not going to be the main character, but it's like, you don't want Darth Vader to be a cameo appearance in a movie, right?
I think it'll be a cameo. He'll be, like... Almost, I'm trying to think, like what's the right way to frame it. What's the analogy I want? Like, he'll be, like, the emperor to whoever the bad guy is in this one, in a way, if that makes sense.
That's a very specific dynamic, though. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I don't know, because remember in Episode 4, Vader was... below Tarkin, maybe Vader would be below this new guy. So I don't know.
Vader wasn't really below Tarkin. Yes, more to the side.
No, he was below Tarkin.
If you read
Tarkin. I didn't read the extra books that you did.
That's right.
Yeah, whatever.
Tarkin was in command of the Death Star, but Vader still was like the Emperor's right hand man.
Whatever. So, but yeah, I mean, it was cool. I kind of was hoping to see a trailer or a Darth Vader thing, but what they showed was definitely neat. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, we don't have to wait too long for that movie, huh?
No, December.
Yeah, so be crazy. Is there really anything else that I'm going to care about from the Star Wars Celebration? I mean, they're going to talk about Rebels Season 3, which isn't really my thing.
That's coming up. Carrie Fisher has her panel, which is always entertaining.
Gosh.
Mark Hamill had his earlier this morning. I need to go back and watch it. Oh. He talked about, like, wrapping Episode 8 and a little bit about that. Is there anything else? There's going to be a panel about the games coming.
Oh.
I don't know if we'll see more than we saw at E3 or not, but that'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I can't imagine so much. They're probably going to show some of the Battlefront next expansion stuff more than anything. I don't think it's going to be a whole lot.
Well, they did say the next one is the Death Star that comes out in September.
Right. Okay. It's so weird. It does feel like DLC for that thing has come out super slowly to me.
It's about every 2 to 3 months since
pretty, the first. For what it is, it's just like a map and like a couple things. It's not much.
It's more than a map. Usually there's 3 or 4 maps.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems slow. And it seems like everyone has moved on.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think the first one took too long to come out.
Yes, exactly. It did not sustain me. So, like, I wouldn't have minded maybe playing more of it. I mean, maybe once Overwatch came, it would have been done anyways. But mm-hmm. I was done even well before Overwatch.
Speaking of Overwatch.
Yeah, here we go. So, yeah, first new hero revealed on a... We were right in that it's this sort of support sniper character. There's a little dragonfly in my room. It's yeah, we were wrong in that her name is not Sombra. Her name is Ana. She is Farrah's mom. And you can play her in the PTR server right now. Did you play her?
Yes.
Yeah. She seems very interesting. It's one of those things where I'm very curious. I really want, like, I wish I could fast forward to a month to see where, like, she kind of
ends up.
Right, because, I mean, there's the typical noise where some people are like, oh, she's not going to be strong enough or whatever. The noise seems to be leaning more that way than she's overpowered, which is usually the knee-jerk
right?
reaction when a new character's revealed. Like, oh, OP. And this one, you know, because... There you go, get that bug. I hate bugs. Where is the...
Ew, you're not actually killing it. Ew,
that's dead. Excuse us, everybody.
Ew, its wing is still twitching.
Yeah, it's dying.
Ew.
Watch and reflect on your mortality. 1 second, why there's a bug away? Say something.
What I was going to say is the problem with, like, playing her in PTR is, like, everyone is on PTR to play her.
Right.
So you can't get, like, a really good sense of how she plays yet.
Well,
and I'm worried that's going to be the case, like, that first week when she's released.
Yeah,
like,
that's kind of why I wish that it was an expansion kind of deal with...
Not an expansion, but, like, at least...
But you know what I mean?
Release, like, 2 at a time.
Right.
Like, something to spread
like,
it out
yeah,
of
that's
it.
What I mean. Like, I would have liked if, you know, maybe instead of... once every couple months, like maybe once a year you had like 4 new heroes, but maybe that'd be too long. I don't know. But yeah, it is kind of things like here's like the 1 new hero, everybody quickly get in there. It's like I don't know where she seems best suited for attacking. Like on defense, I don't know, and on control points, I don't know. And that's kind of, you know, 2/3 of the situations you might be in.
I think she'll be fine on defense.
So
control points a little more questionable, but any sniper
so
in control
yeah, so,
points.
Yeah, so the way she works is she's a sniper who can heal allies by shooting at them. And whenever she shoots an enemy, it hurts them. It does, like, a little, like, damage over time thing for a little bit.
And what I'm glad is it's not like you have to switch between firing
no.
modes. It's just automatic. Same with she has a grenade that heals teammates. It damages and just makes enemy characters not be able to be healed for a few
right.
seconds.
Right, and it heals teammates, but it also makes them receive more healing, too.
Yes, it buffs
their
healing.
And that's really good because that's like one of the few abilities that can affect like everybody. If there's like if there's 10 people really close to each other, you hit everybody with that, it's going to affect all of them.
Yeah, that's like awesome in team fights.
She has like the sleep dart, which is like her hardest ability to hit. It almost fires kind of like Maze right click. And
a little bit.
And it puts enemies asleep for like a few seconds. If you hit them, they wake back up.
And what's going to be the frustration is there's going to be like a Winston ulting. And you're going to be like, bam, asleep. No one touch him. And some idiot's gonna be like, ah, I'm gonna shoot the big monkey. And he's just gonna wake up and kill everybody.
But it can interrupt a lot of alts, though, like, which is nice.
Have you seen what happens when she interrupts Farrah's?
Yeah, just time for Justice to take a nap or something.
Justice needs to take a nap, something like that.
So,
it's good.
But so what's kind of interesting is that she doesn't have any, like, the other two snipers, Hanzo can climb up walls, and Widowmaker has her grappling hook. She doesn't have any of that. She doesn't have any kind of movement tech.
No real mobility.
So
then,
it's pretty hard for her to get up to those spots. That's kind of why I said I see her more attacking sometimes, because it's just easier for her.
She's more mobile.
It's more easier. She's almost not... She's almost kind of like... not going to be too far away from her team, you know? Yeah. She's too far away. She can't really use her abilities to great effect.
Yeah, the grenade and sleep gun don't do anything.
Right.
The other thing interesting, too, is headshots don't have any increased effect for her.
Right.
Which is good if you want to snipe, but you're not, like, a headshot guru. This, you know, this is your way of being able to do it. The other interesting thing, there is a difference between being scoped and unscoped for her. When you're scoped, the shot is hit scan, which means it like immediately connects to the server, and it leaves though that like tracer lines, not like the character tracer.
Yeah.
So like they could see where you were, and if you unscope, it's an actual modeled projectile.
Yeah.
Which kind of changes the dynamic of how those shots work.
But so here's the thing though, she's not as good a sniper as a Widowmaker, right? Mm-hmm. And she's not as good a support as a Mercy or a Lucio or maybe even a Zenyatta. I'm not sure yet. So. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the strength. She's never going to be your only healer.
No, because it's much like Zenyatta can't be your only healer.
But even she'll have like a hard time healing to maybe even Zenyatta because she'll just have very hard time, say, healing a Tracer.
Well, and I think she becomes a very situational character. Is your team going up against a really good Mercy player? Well, use her debuff grenades so that you shut down that Mercy.
Right.
Are you getting taken out by a Roadhog? Use your debuff grenade so he can't self-heal while everyone's attacking him.
And that's kind of the thing, though, where you have these sort of, like... Because you can have six people on your team, and you have these sort of multifaceted characters like this, do you really want one of those, or you just want to have another full-on support? Or another, you know, damage character? You know, that's this kind of thing. And that's what's interesting about putting new heroes into Overwatch right now, because there's been so much tuning of the other heroes, and there's still so much tuning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of strange to like release this new hero with not nearly as much testing, like a minimal amount. And well, you're testing her now.
Yeah, we don't know. It could be a month or more.
I don't think it's going to be. I think they're going to do it relatively soonish. I think it'll be like a week or so because people are going to, you know, they're going to want that hero. But yeah, it is kind of, I don't know, maybe not. But yeah, it needs a lot more tuning. That, you know, main part. I think that's why she appears weak, because I think it's better for them that she be too weak and they have to buff her, then she's too strong and destroys things.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, definitely, again, and who knows? Because I always say people have knee-jerk reactions. Maybe she actually is good. People are going to figure things out. Her ult is interesting, but it's definitely complicated.
Well,
especially like the Uber charge, right? From Team Fortress.
More or less. And that's the thing. She's not going to be the character that's going to get you a million eliminations.
No, you're not going to solo queue with her.
She is truly support in the classic sense. Like, she is there to make your team better and to make the other team worse without killing people herself necessarily. Right. You're not sniping for headshots and getting kills.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. She's definitely going to be a hard character to play. So that's one good thing about her being introduced later, is that people are going to start playing and pick her a lot. But, so the patch that's going to introduce her, though, has some pretty significant... It has a lot of changes for characters, and two of them are very significant. Mm-hmm. D.Va, her alternate... Well, so she used to have the Defense Matrix ability, which was, like, just on cooldown, and it would block all projectiles for a few seconds in front of her. It's now going to be her alt fire, and it runs on a meteor. It runs on a meteor that's going to crash into the planet.
So functionally, you use it kind of like you use Reinhardt's shield.
Reinhardt's shield or, like, Pharah's jump or something like that, yeah. And you know, it lasts a pretty long time, really. So if you're smart, you can basically almost always be able to pop this thing out for at least a second or two. So it makes her much more tanky, because it's not, you know, a matter of, oh, is this thing off cooldown? Maybe I can block this attack. It's kind of, there's a lot more anticipating things coming and, you know, blocking them like that. Her ultimate also got better. It detonates a second faster and it doesn't hurt her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So before her ultimate, it was pretty hard to kill people, because everyone was kind of wise to it, and they would run away.
There's always plenty of time to get out of the way.
Right, now there's less time to get out of the way. You know, it was like 4 to 3 seconds, so... Like,
and you can be more daring with it, because you don't need to leave an escape vector for yourself.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, so she. I think she's going to see a lot more play. I'm kind of excited about that. And then Zenyatta is the other one, so he has 50 more health in its armor, or shield health, so it's the regenerating kind.
Mm-hmm.
So from 150 to 200, that's a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. He was one of the weakest characters before. His orbs, the transcendent, the healing and debuff orb, both move 4 times faster, something ridiculous. So it's almost,
reach their target.
Yeah, so it's almost instantaneous now, so that will improve his healing a lot. It'll make the debuff kind of, faster to move around. And then in Transcendence, he has double speed now, so he can kind of move around to targets that need healing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, these are very significant buffs for him.
Yeah, I think that's good.
They don't necessarily change his play style. Like, they change Diva's. They just make him better.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of thing I'm hearing about. People are like, well, why play Ana? You can just play this awesome Zenyatta now. And it's kind of, because, you know, Zenyatta is kind of a similar thing where he's a damage dealing healer duo sort of thing. I guess the one difference is in competitive mode soon, you can only do one of each hero.
Which I think is great.
Yeah, maybe having Zenyatta and Ana as your two supports instead of just like having the one Lucio will be better. Yeah. I don't know, maybe. We'll see. But so yeah, those two changes are very exciting. And there's a lot of changes kind of all around that are more minuscule and like you wouldn't notice right away. McCree's is pretty big. For a certain distance, he no longer has like a penalty to damage. Yeah, so you know it's kind of they nerfed him, which he needed to, but the nerf was maybe a little too harsh, and just kind of gives him something back. It you know still makes him feel strong without that initial problem where at close range you just use the flashbang and kill anybody, including tanks. So that I think that seems like a good buff. Yeah, so lots of exciting things happening in the world of Overwatch.
Yeah,
have you been up to anything else?
No.
No, yeah, I know. It's been a lot of Pokemon Go.
Pokemon and Overwatch and still moving.
Are you going to see Ghostbusters?
Eventually, not this weekend. It's kind of hard with Chris's birthday and everything else going on this weekend.
Right.
I do want to see it, though.
Yeah, I'm going to see it at some point. I bet it'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's which is what I always thought. Well, everybody was screaming. Fine to
pretty good.
It'll be, yeah, it'll be all right. Star Trek is next week, though, right?
Yep. That's what I'm looking forward to. We'll go Thursday night to that one.
Give me my Star Trek. All right, then. Well, I guess that's our show.
Yay.
All right, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and the Google Play Store. You can leave us a review there. And, yeah, just go to ebpodcast.com, find all of our shows, and we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.